Welcome to the first morning session of Sunstone today. We're glad to have you here for the devotional. And what we've decided to do this morning is to show an excerpt, from the Finding Faith in Christ DVD that the church recently has produced and distributed with Ensign Magazine, and I imagine it's also available through other church sources. One of the reasons for showing this is to bring in the spirit of the devotional the way that it's been in the past, where we discuss matters of faith. We can look at this film, or the portion we're going to see today, and we can examine it in terms of the historical accuracy, the quality of the acting, whether we like the appearance or the voice of the person who portrays Christ, whether we really think that someone would have a Torah sitting beside their kitchen table, and various aspects that might show up as you're watching this. But I would request that for the purpose of a devotional, that we don't focus on those things. You're welcome to think about them, and you know, if they impact you, I suppose that's important to say. But for the sake of having a devotional, I think it's more important to look at the subject matter this morning and to consider something that Richard Rorty brought up last night in his really excellent presentation. He distinguished between two different approaches to worship. And one was to worship a God of love. Another was to worship a God of power. And I believe, if I understood him correctly, he was also saying that we can spend a lot of time worshiping a God of power without ever finding the gospel or finding its applicability in our lives and blessing the lives of others if what we're worshiping is the God of power but not also worshiping the God of love. And so the goal this morning is to look at this, and then we'll discuss it for a few moments, with an eye toward how we can better worship a God of love in our own lives and how we can take the principles that Christ lived and taught and live them in our own lives. So we'll watch a few moments of it, and then we'll have a brief discussion. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm not alone. There were many who witnessed for themselves. And we have the words of the prophets. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Thank you.
One of the things I like about this portrayal is that it shows Christ not setting out to go find someone to help and making a formal gesture of it, but these were people he simply encountered as he would walk along or as he would be in the course of his ministry. What are some of your thoughts about what we can do to have a more worship of the God of love in our lives? Yeah. Toby.
Yeah, I am. 3 weeks ago, a missionary was a About 3 weeks ago, a missionary, a member of the High Council, came to visit his home. I live in the bosom of Zion, Salt Lake, in the east side of Salt Lake, and they have a hard time finding things to do, I think, the missionaries at times. And came to visit, and he showed this. Us. That was the purpose of coming, and I was struck then as I was again by what I thought was an attempt to be a faithful portrayal of really what the New Testament stories were about. They weren't all there, but I thought the selection was good. I thought the portrayal was not of of an aggressive proselyting nature. It was more to tell the story as it seemed to me it was recorded in the New Testament, and I was impressed with the balance. I was not a little bit uncomfortable with seeing things that I'd read so many times in my life, and they were different than I had in my mental, in my mind's image were. But it was a very forceful and very, very, very impressive presentation.
So how does it translate into your life?
Oh, I think it. I think it translates the emphasis on the miracle side of it, the power versus the love, was there. But I think that's in the New Testament too. I think it was foretold, and how it impressed me in my life. I think those scenes of love, the one later where he forgives the woman caught in adultery, I thought was quite touching, and I think it helped me. I think be more sensitive towards people that I run into in life and show some love. Yeah.
Anyone else have any thoughts you'd like to share?
Did you be motivated by love? Let me just mention that.
Why don't you come up here and mention it?
Just to comment on the one thing that Toby mentioned about power, which is the miracles. The miracles seem to really flow out of Christ's love, which is something I try to emphasize in my Sunday school class. Why did he do these things? Because he cared about people, not to show people that he cared about them, but because he cared about them. And I think that's a really good example, and that we can be one to that example.
Anyone else have any comments you'd like to make? No. Sure, why don't you... you want to come up here? Yeah. There's two of you, so go ahead and... You want to both come up? Yeah, come on up. Okay.
One thing I'm reminded of looking at that Jesus had all the power in the world. I mean, he could have been anything, and he chose to use his power to be in service to people and to perform miracles and to teach, not to set himself up as a ruler. And you know, this is really interesting to see what, you know, this Christ-like use of power was. It was not to make himself in the time of his life a ruler, but that would come later, of course, after his resurrection. So I think that's a interesting message, to be in service with your power.
Excellent point. Do you want to...
What impressed me most was the love of Christ. His plan was the love of Christ, as opposed to Lucifer, his brother's plan was of power. And Christ had both, but he emphasized the love. Love was his plan, and God, the Eternal Father, accepted this. And you know what happened to the power.
Thank you. We probably have time for one more brief comment if anyone else has something they'd like to add. What did I think? I was really struck by the everyday nature of just walking along, seeing somebody in need, and reaching out to help that person. I think it's too easy to compartmentalize and institutionalize the charity in our lives. And it's too easy to say, especially in a day and age where we have formalized, you know, we have a formal church, we have formal things, meetings where we go and do service projects and things like this. I think it's too easy to become... Or it's very easy to become focused on those things and not to simply see the small ways that we can have dramatic impact on people's lives and not even know it sometimes, but just the small opening a door for somebody, it may be that simple, or stopping to talk to somebody, or chatting with someone on an airplane, because I seem to be on a lot of airplanes, and just small things that we may not be inclined to do, and we may not even be prompted to do. You know, we may not feel some big thing and be able to get up and talk about it in a testimony meeting, But just the small interventions, that for Christ it was a matter of laying a hand on a head and healing somebody. And we don't know the times in our lives when we are actually doing that. And that, you know, we may not see the visible result of it immediately, but that those opportunities are constant and continual in our lives. And I think that was my take-home message from it. And especially with the scenes of raising Lazarus, which comes later in the film. He just happened not to be there when Lazarus died, and that didn't stop him. You know, he just did what he, you know, did the natural thing, which was to bring him back. And to see that the miracles is in the course of his life, and to realize that we probably have many miracles in our own lives, whether we see them or not. So that was what I took from it. Okay, thank you for coming, and we'll now go to our next sessions.
Thank you.